I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
Yes, it's time once again for Radio Free X-Man.
What's Radio Free X-Man?
We've got 11,000 people at NASA trying to figure that out right now.
Radio Free X-Man's beloved cast of broadcast entertainers are back.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Now, the charming and delightful president of X-Man Mortgage and host of Radio Free X-Man, Bob.
Your head is freakishly large.
Brooks.
And freakishly back, I might add, coming at you from the freakish...
I think your back is fairly normal.
And it's
well,
not hairy,
yeah, if you don't...
Thank God for that.
If you don't take into account the braided back hair that has a little...
No,
you know,
that's you,
Robbie. At the bottom.
Yes, Mr. Toe Ring Wearer. I'm sorry, only, real men do not wear toe rings.
It only began to bother me when parts of it began to turn gray.
I was worried we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
But the braids are held together just fine with his earwax.
And I have it on good authority from the girls at yoga that these will help my uterus to... drop out more eggs.
Because you don't have enough of a feminine, what, three quarters as it is.
The brewing frog's uterus goes front and center.
He brews, he ovulates, who knows.
Next week, more myths and legends on Radio Free X-Man.
That's right.
As I was saying, on the subject of mortgage, we're coming at you from this...
the place where we're about to smash that phone with a hammer.
No, you can answer, it's okay. I mean, we don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's better than Robbie's back
exceptionally
hair.
Valuable
I told you
hair
not to call me hair. Coming at you from the Soviet Gulag facilities in wonderful North Champions Forest. Coming from Kingwood, it only took 3 hours.
Congratulations, you've survived FM 1960 on a market day.
I only caught 50% of the 348 stop lines.
Yeah. What was that line from SOB where you got, TV show,
about.
Loretta Swit. In the whole body cast, you know, whining at the people in the ambulance because they couldn't get her to whatever it was fast enough. I could have made better time in a covered wagon, she yells.
Well, that's what you get for broadcasting from an undisclosed location.
That's right. We are undisclosed.
We producers profit handsomely when we have our own studios at home, in addition to the expensive and lavishly furnished News Talk 1070 studios.
That's right. We're talking to his little talk box, which is right next to his ham radio.
And Bob's using my Mr. Microphone.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Right next to all of his Star Wars figurines.
We'd like to send out a note of thanks to Dick Cheney, who is in the bathroom right now. Get out of there, Dick,
and get your hands off that shotgun.
That's right. Well, wait a minute. Let me go get my green helmet first.
You know what really drives me crazy is these idiot, ignorant liberals who still are writing about that incident, and they'll say things like, he shot the man with buckshot. If he'd shot him with buckshot, he wouldn't have had a chest left. Any fool who doesn't know the difference between buckshot and birdshot, first of all, should not be allowed to live in Texas.
This is my kind of woman here.
And second of all...
You see, they had to ship
those. If you're
going to
write about something, have some vague idea what you're writing about. If you tried to shoot Dove with buckshot.
I'm starting to like her more myself.
Some little bits of goo left over.
I found this foot.
People get peppered with birdshot all the time. They go home and their wives pick it out of their bottoms with the tweezers.
Note to staff and cast of broadcast entertainers on the program, if you thump on that expensive table in Dave's lavishly furnished studio, it makes the microphones make funny noises. So
don't do that.
In the meantime, give me a Slurpee,
table
hold the buckshot.
That could be like a new musical group.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
If you're going to do it, take off your shoe and do it right like Nikita Khrushchev.
From Petko to that spandoy bejo, but Nisti Maria Sharapova Martina Navratilova.
You were talking about Green Helmet, and the Brewing Frog and I had a fun time with Green Helmet last week on the program.
Oh, and I even have a recording of Green Helmet's voice. This is Salam Daher, Green Helmet, talking dead serious now on the scene of the terrible, horrible, made-up tragedy at Kana. So here I'm thinking Green Helmet sounds an awful lot like one of those men in drag, one of those fake grannies on Monty Python's Flying Circus, but the Brewing Frog is thinking about rebuilding Kana as a mortgage lender.
Boy, what do you think comp rates are on those buildings over in Beirut right now, anyway?
Oh, don't be mean.
Well, you know... given that Iran has promised an unlimited amount of funds to Hezbollah to rebuild Lebanon, all this ceasefire has done is strengthened Hezbollah's position. Also, ceasefire means Israel goes back to Israel, and Hezbollah gets to be rearmed by Syria and Iran. All they've done is help the terrorists more and made people more beholden to the terrorists for their housing and shelter and education.
And on that subject, aren't they basically in Israel crying for Olmert's blood?
Sure. I think maybe 3% of Israelis in a poll this week approved of the war and how it went.
They want to give them a vote of no confidence.
No competence?
No, yeah. Well, either.
Well,
take your pick.
Thing.
Look for it real soon.
It's coming. Who knows? By the time this program hits the air.
Where's Bibi Netanyahu going to be in all of this?
Front, center, and at the top when it's all over, I guarantee
think so.
It.
They're just too small of a country, and they are surrounded by too much weaponry.
And giving up
I think,
land
to take too many
never
chances.
Works.
Well,
all
the
they
Syrians
did was narrow
are...
their... make it harder to defend themselves with no buffer areas.
The Syrians are getting ready to try to take another buffer area, the Golan Heights, which they've coveted all these many decades, and they've got their army lined up on the Syrian side, and the Israeli army has stations on the other side, and right now they got their arms folded staring at each other, so this thing could get way out of control in a very short time.
I don't think the Syrians are going to do that for all the tea in China.
Well, not unprovoked. They don't have the guts.
Well, they've tried.
Well, they got the guts. I don't think they have the strength.
Well, they can cause a provocation because Israel's the only country in the world that is not allowed to defend itself.
Cause a provocation. All they got to do is attack.
I'm sorry, but Spain starts launching rockets over the Pyrenees into France, and then comes over and well, we all like shooting French soldiers because it's easy. It's you know, but still,
the back being a wide target.
and take a few more captive. And you think even France is not going to retaliate? Please.
We're a little carnivorous here.
They expect to defend themselves. Every other country in the world, it's all right to defend yourself when someone crosses your borders and attacks you, except
Israel. But hold on. You are missing a nuance, if I may use the John Kerry word.
I didn't know you knew that word.
And that is, the Spaniards weren't actually shooting into France. People that maybe the
okay,
Spaniards
the
gave Bosque sucker to.
The Bosque on the Spanish side were shooting into France.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yet, I'm going to go out on a limb here and think the French would somehow hold the Spanish responsible because they're operating with impunity from Spanish territory.
Well, the answer France would probably give is to deport all of its own Jews, unfortunately, saying they were the actual cause of the problem.
You know, they did an awfully good job of it, though, when they opened their doorways for the Nazis. You know, they're the only country that gleefully turned over their Jewish citizens to the Nazis.
Yeah, they did.
They did it with relish.
And some béarnaise sauce and a little gray poupon.
And a pickle on top.
Jerry took the word
Jerry gets
my
the assist on that one.
The previous, by the way, was an entirely hypothetical scenario. We do not know yet of any Basques who have lobbed rockets into France.
Yeah, but don't go out giving any ideas.
They make a lovely pie.
If there is any breaking news on that subject, we will be the first to tell you if it's on Sunday at 3 p.m.
I guess I would sum up this thought with something that I saw on Instapundit. What if Israel were to lay down its arms versus what if Hezbollah were to lay down their arms? Hezbollah et al. And folks like that. There'd be peace in the Middle East.
No question.
Okay. If Israel did, there'd be another super-duper mega-genocide.
There's a bloodbath, and all the Jews are gone as soon as they stop defending themselves. And everybody knows this.
Everybody knows this.
And yet, leading the pack on the left is our own press, who struggle every day to put human... you know, face and human life and human experience on the most inhuman of people and to try to morally balance the scales between them and a decent, you know, upstanding group of people who just want to be left alone to do their thing.
Well, the problem is they're so busy putting human face on everything that they forget that there's this thing called human nature.
Is there a great song by Spock's Beard about that?
Isn't insanity defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting there to be a different result?
Yeah.
All right, where are you going with this, tax guy?
Well, the fact is that every single time there has been a truce, every single time there has been a ceasefire, every single time Israel has made a concession, who violates the truce? Who infiltrates, who attacks, who launches more bombs, who blows up more civilians on buses? It's not the Israelis. It's always started back up again. by Hamas and Hezbollah and all of those other groups.
If I might, just, you know, roll this entire train right off the tracks. Not like that doesn't happen all the time. But, you know, consider. Now, in the past, that's happened because you've had, you know, the likes of, you know, fantastic statesmen such as Bad King Billy and, you know, our oh-so-fantastic Annapolis graduate Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Man, why would you bring that up in Annapolis in the same breath?
Yeah. What did Rick Over say about him? Anyway,
X-Man
but
went to Annapolis.
Consider. Now, we've got Bush leading things. We got Rice, his handpicked Secretary of State, who ought to know better, going to the UN and making just utterly, you know, what are you thinking deals? You know,
they're not
expecting,
thinking.
Well, what I have to wonder is, and it's like for a long time I've given, you know, Condi Rice the benefit of the doubt because, oh, she's bright. Oh, she's smart. Oh, she's just doing that for the benefit of the world press.
I'm getting weak on Condi Rice right
Boy,
now.
Boy,
I cannot.
Me too,
and I've been very
you know,
pro-Condi, but
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
really
I can't, you know, it's just gone beyond, okay, they've got to have some kind of ulterior plan here or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some reason they're doing this. And I, for the life of me, I can't see what they've got in mind.
X-Man went to Annapolis, really?
You didn't know that?
Can you believe X-Man
that? X-Man went to Annapolis.
It's amazing what a Bragg
U.S. Naval graduate,
do.
5 years active duty.
You are darn lucky you went in and did your time and got out, because if you were 20 years younger and did that now, you might get a billet on board the USS Jimmy Carter.
Well, you know, X-Man here did two tours in the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm. Peanut Drive, USS Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, really. It's like, I know they make...
On the USS Raleigh.
They make bubbleheads go through some pretty crazy, like, psychological things. You know, how long can you stay locked in a closet? 6 months? But it's like, okay, we're going to put you on the Jimmy Carter. It's like, no, I'm sorry. Everybody's going to wash out of that one. It's like, I can't take the pressure.
If I have to smile for 5 more minutes.
Oh, God.
That would be the one part of a military record that, the best of American military men would not lay claim to is service on the Jimmy Carter.
Golly.
I don't know. I remember seeing...
It's a lovely white ship.
Yeah, when the with the yellow stripe. Yeah, no, the CO of the poor boat was actually on there. It's like just saying, it's like, yeah, they named the boat after him. I mean, it's not like we're like fans of his or anything. It's like yeah, what a job.
Don't interview me. I'm getting off this rust bucket as quick as I can.
That's right. Now your first command. Do you have anything else?
That's why I've been transferred to the USS Sith Lord. Thank you.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
I am your father.
Speaking of mortgage? No, speaking of Jimmy Carter.
And on the subject of mortgage, speaking of Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, really.
I'm sure he had a mortgage at some point in time.
Somebody who mortgaged any vestige of, well, I don't know, perceived intelligence he may once have had.
God bless him.
Well, it only goes to show that formal education is not necessarily indicative of one's intelligence.
Well, indeed. I seem to remember...
Well, I know plenty of people with a vast formal education who are dumb as stumps.
Until you just said that, I was thinking, there's a girl with a formal education.
Well no, you can have a formal education and still be a bright individual.
You may have just committed
They're not
grave.
Mutually exclusive. I just don't think one is the definition of the other.
Righteous. You may have grave injustice against stumps, I'm afraid.
Righteous.
Well, I mean the kind that are sort of rotted out by termites.
Speaking of Jimmy Carter, it's been a long time since anyone's talked about that abortion of a mission to Tehran in 1979.
Oh, art thou generous.
Brewing Frog, I think you probably have the best recollection of it. I read the book about Ross Perot's mission that came shortly thereafter and went very much better. But see if you can remember us that mission.
Well, just I remember a good anecdote from the Charlie Beckwith's after action report.
Mm-hmm.
And Beckwith was the commander, essentially the first guy that put together Delta Force, and he was regarded at the time as America's best professional shooter. So this is the man they put in charge of this thing.
Okay.
Now, the thing that I thought was most indicative of the mindset of the Carter administration and its people versus...
Which is the reason I brought this up, because it carries well over into the kind of management of conflict that we're talking about now.
Oh, indeed, yes, because the mindset is still there. But here we are getting to it. Now, that Beckwith, now he's a shooter, He's a good, you know, in case of, you know, war, break glass. This kind of guy. The one you want in there who's going to defeat the enemy with the, you know, the MacGyver, like, I need a hairpin, some Elmer's glue, and I'll make a nuclear bomb. There, you know, no problem.
Wusses can sleep at night because rough men like this are out guarding
exactly,
our...
Exactly. Ready to do violence on their behalf. Mm-hmm. So, here's Beckwith in the field. Now, they're at Desert One. They got troops. They got helicopters. They got everything. They're ready to, you know, pile into the helicopters and head into downtown Tehran, where, yep, you know, the current president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, is holding our, you know, embassy people hostage.
Wouldn't it have been nice to kill him back then?
Yeah,
you
funny
know?
How Mike Wallace didn't ask him anything about that, but that's a whole
nother... He was telling us what a good-looking man he was.
Oh, yeah, really. It's a Tiger Beat interview
Did
with
like
Mike Wallace.
You like that man crush there?
Cruising. Oh, my gosh, I'm surprised he didn't get a handful of Iranian buttocks there while he was...
We haven't seen the unedited tape just yet.
True. Maybe but, he did. Maybe he did.
Really. So did Mike Wallace take Viagra? So anyway, back to the after action report. Beckwith and his deputy commander are on the ground. Now they have a radio link with National Command Authority, you know, mm-hmm, James Earl Carter. Now his Secretary of State was Warren Christopher. Well, Warren Christopher's there in the room with him.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, Beckwith was saying, okay, Mr. President, we're fixing to saddle up. We're going to head downtown. We're going to shoot a bunch of these bastards. We're going to bring our people out of there.
Christopher came back to haunt us later with Bill Clinton.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Okay. But this is the part that's just, it fills me with sheer amazement even now. Now, this, you know, Christopher is a guy who, he's Secretary of State. He's, you know, longtime diplomat, and he's, you know, well-versed in all these various things. Been an old Washington player for a while. Well, yep, he gets on the radio in front of Carter and says to Beckwith, you know, here's a commander in the field, locked and loaded, face painted, ready to go downtown and shoot him up. And he says, Colonel, can you just, like, shoot him maybe in the arm or the leg? We don't want you to kill anybody. You know, and Beckwith,
by a man who has obviously never touched a firearm in his life, other than to say, ooh, that's icky.
Yeah, you got to imagine Beckwith looking at his deputy commander going,
is this a joke?
What the hell? You know, well, okay, so yeah, and so Clinton makes this guy a Secretary of State. You know, it's the same people. And literally, I look at, you know, some idiot like Ned Lamont, you know, whose message is, you know, we have to flee. We can't
Ned
do this
Lament.
War thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This mindset has not only taken root, but it's come to fruition in the modern Democrat
it's
Party.
It's been lurking around for a very long time, though, this leftist fear of violence, this fear of taking charge and getting the job done.
I cannot
Because
think.
We might hurt someone's feelings.
Oh, well,
the
my
problem
goodness,
is what
yes.
you're willing to give up when you fear violence, when you... Because peace is not simply the cessation or absence of violence. It's not.
It's not peace at all. It's oppression and bordering on slavery in a lot of cases.
Right.
I couldn't think of a more dangerous set of people to be in charge of things at this juncture in history than the modern left.
And guess who's listening? Guess who's being listened to by Condi Rice? And that's old Brent Scowcroft.
Brent Scowcroft,
from
yes,
the first
who was
Bush administration.
The utter bane of the first Bush administration. Mr. Oh, we must keep the status quo. We can't allow anything bad to happen. We have to keep everything the same.
The Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger crowd from way back when is lurking around and influencing policy now. In fact, I hear that... gosh, what was his name? I just met Brent Scowcroft.
Yeah, not the one with the Princeton Tiger tattooed in his butt.
Look, I tried too hard to remember Zbigniew Brzezinski. Everything else was a total loss after that. But Scowcroft has been actually sending messages and making phone calls to congresspeople and generally stirring up a fuss and causing all kinds of trouble, trying to influence everyone to put pressure on the administration to change the way they're handling this thing.
And the administration is too worried about being popular and making everyone happy and everybody think they're good guys instead of doing what has to be done to protect this country and to make it a safe and free nation.
That's and right, Israel,
folks.
Too.
Bring back James Baker.
Well, if Clinton had the sense God gave to turn it and hadn't been so busy humping interns, then he would have kept James Baker
Again,
as Secretary
a
of State.
A grave insult to an innocent vegetable. And
I didn't.
And
point.
I didn't mean Bill.
Hardly innocent, at least.
Yeah, he's going to turn 60 this month. Well, happy birthday, you worthless lunk.
Yeah, and he doesn't look a day over 70. Actually, Clinton looks like he just saw a painting of himself in the attic for the first time.
That's the guy who Viagra was made for.
Okay, now I'm just feeling ill.
Yeah, really. And as the tax goddess claws her eyes out.
No, just my ovaries.
Would you like one of my toe rings?
Robbie, I love you to death, but I gotta tell you, I hope to never touch anything that's been on your toes.
Then you'll never walk a mile in my shoes.
Thank God.
People are scratching their heads all over the Houston area going, was this like an accidental studio session that somehow got on the air? I mean, what is this?
Good Lord, what is this smut you're listening to?
Yeah, my father's comment when he heard it was, what exactly are you trying to accomplish again?
They're very good at what they do, but what is it that they do?
Exactly.
Well, whatever it is, it's sponsored, paid for, but not catered by...
No, we catered today.
They did indeed cater.
We did. These would be delicious spring rolls from Nitinoy. And by the way, Ixman is mortgage broker license 30065. They're legal, taken care of.
And his telephone number is?
281-813-0509.
Ixman Mortgage answers that darn phone, especially at 2 a.m. And it's always fun to call Bob on that number and find out what it is he's doing. And if you get a rational answer, that means he was awake. So you really want to know what it was he was doing.
I'll just hand the phone to the sheriff next to me.
Through the grate.
Yeah, really?
Well, hurry up and call now. Operator is standing by.
That number again.
Yeah.
281-813-0509. Mm.